weeks ago. Some people are on this side of it, some people on that side of it, and it's not a topic that we should shy away from at all, because the scripture has it through and through and through, which we're going to study. But we have to study it from God's perspective and biblical prosperity, and not the world's prosperity. And part of the problem is we have taken the world's definitions and we have brought them into the church. And if you say prosperity to the world, they're going to think you're rich with money. That's what they call prosperity. But the Bible calls prosperity shalom. The word that is used for prosperity in the Greek and Hebrew is shalom. And shalom, we all know it as peace. Who's our Prince of Peace?
Jesus.
That's exactly right. And it implies a blessing. It implies wholeness. You know, when Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, Scripture says something very clearly. It doesn't say he healed her. It said he made her whole.
Amen.
You see, when the lepers were healed, there was 9 that God healed, but there was one who was made whole, because he had the heart to receive everything Jesus had to offer him, and not just healing. You know, I can tell you, if you've got more money than you know what to do with, and you're laying on your sick bed, you're not really in biblical prosperity. But if you're struggling to get your bills paid, you aren't either. But if you're also not in right relationship with God, I have news for you. Scripture calls you very, 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 very poor. Mm-hmm. It calls you blind and naked and poor if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You see, and we get caught up in thinking that that prosperity just means, oh, you've got money or you don't. You know, God blesses people in tremendous ways. And we're going to look at that in Scripture, but we have to understand that shalom, biblical prosperity, is the peace of God in our lives, in every area of our lives. So that in every area, you are without strife and without confusion and without lack. That is what Scripture is going to show us biblical prosperity is. You know, there was a man and he just had so much money. So much money. He didn't know what to do with all his money, but I'll tell you, he was one nasty man. He was one nasty man. The only thing he did have was money. He didn't have any friends at all. He was mean to his wife. He was just nasty to her. And so he was getting ready to die, and on his deathbed, he said, "I want you to do me one favor." And she said, "What's that?" And he said, "I know I have treated you horrible, but I would like you to bury all my money with me."
Oh, my goodness.
She said, "Okay, I'll do that." So I got to the funeral, and her best friend was sitting there, and she had told her best friend his request. And they went through the funeral, and everybody that, like the wife, came to the funeral. He had no friends. They came, "We're very sorry, we're very sorry." She and her friend were left at the funeral home, and right before they closed the casket, she stuck an envelope in. And her best friend said, "You did not do that." She said, "I gave my word. I gave my word to him on his deathbed." She said, "Do you mean to tell me you are going to be a poor woman your whole life because you have buried all of his money with him?" She said, "I wrote a check." But you know, we get caught up in measuring people's worth by money alone. And they can be mean and nasty and miserable and have no peace and not know Jesus Christ, and yet society will say, "Oh, look, they're prosperous." But that's not what Scripture calls prosperous. And on the other hand, you can have peace of God in your life, and not look like you've got very much going on for you, and yet you are living in wonderful prosperity according to what God says about you, because you are a child of the Most High God, and He owns it all.
Amen.
You see, we have to understand what Scripture says about it and get the world's definitions completely out of our mind. You know, and you look in Revelation, and Jesus says to the church, He says, you know what? You think you're rich because you've got a lot of money and a lot of wealth. But I want you to know that you are poor. You are wretched. And you are blind. You see, God's definition of poor is definitely not the world's definition. And when you hear people saying, we need to reach the poor, well, they need to understand that some of the wealthiest people around them are the poorest people, because they're the hardest to reach for Christ. That's what Scripture calls it. So we're going to talk about the blessing of God and what God has promised in His Word. Now, you have to approach this believing what Scripture says. You either believe Scripture or you don't, but I believe Scripture. So I'm just going to tell you what the Word of God says, and we're going to go through this, and when we get through this, I hope everybody has a clear understanding and there's no more discussion and no more uncomfortableness and no more awkwardness in talking about the blessing and the prosperity of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that He has for His children. Grace starts with the forgiveness of our sins, but it is unmerited favor. And if you're trying to earn grace, it's no longer grace. That's what Scripture says in Romans chapter 4. If you're trying to get grace, it's no longer grace, because you're working for it. Grace is just unmerited favor of God. Prosperity in the Bible is shalom. And it's actually defined as health, security, good welfare, wholeness, completeness. It implies a blessing. So, that is important to understand those biblical definitions as we go forward. Now, a lot of people say, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. Or a lot of people say, I believe in the prosperity gospel. Well, I have news for you. There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. It is not three or four gospels. And the gospel of Jesus Christ will take someone who is lost and they will be found. It will take somebody bound for hell and it will give them eternal life. It will take somebody who is in the absolute pits and it will redeem them. It will take somebody who has absolutely no hope at all and give them a hope and a future. Ladies, the gospel is prosperity.
Amen.
Amen. It is, according to the biblical definition. It is prosperity. And do I believe in the prosperity gospel? Yes, I do, because it's all in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in Jesus Christ. I want you to go to, we're going to look at a couple of verses. We're going to start with John 10:10. And we're going to read this, and then we're going to break it down into what the Greek actually says, what the Greek definitions are. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, destroy. Okay? So if you have situations in your life that are dying, if you have situations in your life that are being stolen from you, if you have situations in your life that are being destroyed, I have news for you, that is straight from the pit of hell. But Jesus said, listen, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, more abundantly. Now, what does that life mean? That life there, the word for life there is Zoe. We've all heard it, right? A lot of kids are named Zoe. What that means is life to the highest and best that Christ has. That is the ultimate level of light. It is the very best that Christ has. The Greek word for it, I'm going to let you all hear this, is Zoe. Abundantly, when he says, I've come to give you life abundantly, is P-E-R-I-S-S-U-S, perisys. And that is to abound to overflowing. So he has come to give you the very, very best that Christ is and Christ has till it overflows in your life. Now that's amazing. I have come that you may have the very, very highest level, the highest expectation of life that there is in Jesus Christ, and not only have that, but have it until it overflows and overflows and overflows until you cannot contain it. That's what that says. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is why Jesus Christ came. Prosperity is in the gospel. The gospel is the person of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go to Isaiah. These are not on your paper. I added another section here because I got so excited studying this. And I wanted you all to see this. I want you to go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Here is a picture of biblical prosperity. Isaiah 61, we're going to start with verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. What's good news to the poor? You're not poor anymore. That's good news to the poor, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Right. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. Does something have you in bondage? He came for freedom for the captives and to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them, listen, a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of gladness and instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called the righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. The righteousness of God that every one of you has this available for every one of us. Listen, that's a picture of prosperity right there. And that is what the Bible says. Now, I want you to keep that there, and I want you to go back. First of all, let's clear something up right now. You're all the righteousness of the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're all there? Okay. Because we have to understand that. You see, if you go through that, it takes care of your depression. It takes care of your despair. It takes care of your hopelessness. It takes care of the troubles that you're having in your life. It takes care of all of those things that cause you to keep from living a whole, healthy, godly life. It's all right there. Isaiah says that's going to happen in the year of the Lord's favor.
Amen.
All right? Now go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 16. Luke 4, 16. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. Ladies, Jesus went to church. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is Jesus Christ. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, then he rolled the scroll up, gave it back to his attendees, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened to him, and he began by saying, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He said, today you are looking, here I am. Jesus Christ was brought into this world for this very reason. Praise the Lord. Do you see that? Do you see when he says, I come that you may have Zoe life and have it more abundantly, that he is saying, look, I am coming because this is the package that I am bringing. I am breaking the curse, and this will not stand any longer. That is what scripture says. That's amazing. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Your whole identity, your wholeness, your ability to receive the goodness of God, the blessing of God, the one that breaks chains, the one that releases captives, the one that sets your feet on a rock, all of that comes from the person of Jesus Christ. And when you make him the Lord of your life, that is what you have available to you. That's what scripture says. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. It's a wonderful, 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 wonderful gift of grace. Unmerited, undeserved favor. You know, and it has not stopped.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, God is still doing great things.
Amen.
He is still taking care of the issues of your life. We just think we have to do it ourselves and drudge along and and you know, the more we can, you know, you can perfect it till it almost sounds spiritual. Yeah. No, you practice it long enough, and I'm telling you, I've been in what were called some testimony services when it wasn't testimony at all, and it was like, the Lord, I'm hurting so bad, but I'm like, really? Yes. But ladies, please understand, Jesus Christ said, this scripture is fulfilled in your.
Yes, it is.
That is what Jesus Christ brings to our lives, and God is still doing great things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.